How long have you ever talked to or seen or been told about someone who looked like a believer, who acted like a believer, but later on in life, they left? They left, if I can say, the faith. They left. They walked away as if what they believed most of their lives was not correct. That's amazing to me. I've told this story often, and I won't tell it in any length, but it was amazing to me when a fellow AG pastor of mine decided to become a Catholic. And I'm like Matt's middle dog, Penny, the German Shepherd. And she likes to, if you say something she doesn't understand, she loves to cock her head and just look at you. And that's what that announcement made me cock my head. And I was like, what? On earth, you're insane. I'll tell you, I won't make friends. I've heard of a number of people going to the Roman Catholic Church. I'll be honest with you. There's nothing there for you. It's all make-believe. There's nothing there for you. Well, you don't know. The Romans. No, I do know. There's nothing there for you. But these people shock me. It's shocking to my system when I see someone not only grow up in the church, but spend most of their adult life in the church, and then I see them, and they're not serving the Lord anymore. And it's like, what? They're not nice people to hang around with. And by the way, they don't hang around with me anyway. These people are sad. They're angry. They don't know what to do with themselves. They feel like God let them down. So they're going to punish God by not following him any longer. That is some of the twisted logic that the devil will put in your head. You know, that God didn't answer my prayer and this says this, so I'm just not going to serve him anymore. And it's like, I hate to say it, but I submit to you that they were very probably never knew the Lord. They might have knew the church. They might have knew that their parents knew the Lord, but they personally never knew the Lord. If you were raised in a Christian home, let me tell you something. You have to get your own faith. You have to get your own belief. My son Timothy was not a rebel, but he had to go through this stage where he had to find his own faith, that he believed because he believed. Not because his parents believed, but because he believed. I don't know how you do that without the Word of God, however. The Word of God will help you. I have heard of preachers that they preached most of their adult life and then fall away at the end of their lives. I've read historical accounts of how famous preachers that have not just slipped up and sinned. We have, there's an epidemic in Texas right now of big name preachers. They are falling like dominoes lined up. But like they don't preach anymore and they have fallen away from the Lord. And it's like, how? Why? What? Are you telling me you only served the Lord so you had a job? So you would have a job? You only preach the gospel because it was a job to you? And when that responsibility is gone, you're not serving the Lord anymore? You know, you don't have to answer to the board. You don't have to answer to the congregation. So you're just going to live your life any way you want to? I don't know. They just start to serve themselves at the end of their life. Maybe you don't know anybody like that, but unfortunately, I think I do. I'm not going to be too long tonight, I don't think. Deb doesn't have a microphone. I should be okay. This is why it is such a big deal to be born again. Hear me clearly tonight. Because it isn't for a minute.
And it isn't for an hour. It's not for a day. It's not for a week. It's not for a month. It's not just for a year. It is not just for a decade or even a century. It is a lifetime and beyond decision to be born again. That's why flim-flam little tiny prayers that, and I'm not disrespecting any prayer, but this little sugary prayer that the preachers have them pray, and it's like, well, do you understand you're making a lifetime decision here? And the thought of adding Jesus to your life, no. If Jesus doesn't become your life, you don't have it yet. If you're really born again, you could take everything else away and still be happy because you've got Jesus. Serving the Lord is not for wimps. And it isn't for those that just want a little excitement, a little tickle. You can get a little tickle many different ways. All right? This is something much more serious than that. It's much more serious than an emotion that you feel during a service. It's much more serious than that. This being born again is truly, as the Bible says, you're forgetting your past and you're moving on in the future as a totally different person. It says you're a new creation. You're not who you were. This is serious business we're talking about. That's why we have church. Give us an opportunity to continue to grow in our faith. Not for a minute, not for an hour or a month, but for the rest of our lives. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody starts. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. We were watching the Olympic trials, and I think it was the 100-meter hurdle for the women. And those short races are so, so very close. And I used to be, I tell my grandchildren, I haven't done everything, but I've been really close. I used to be a track and field official, high school track and field official. And to the big meets, when they go up to the state meets, and I was there. And I was officiating the 100-meter dash. Maybe it was still 100 yards at the time. 100-yard dash. And my job was to pick fourth place. Understand, in those short races, it's a blanket. I did my best. I was at the finish line. I picked this guy fourth. Well, the third place guy picked him third, and the second place guy picked him second. That's how tight a race it is. So these are tight races that are coming up. And I'm watching this 100-meter hurdle race, and about two-thirds of the way down, there was a woman that was in somewhat contention. Then her foot hit a hurdle. And there is no glamorous way to fall over a hurdle. She went head over tea kettle. And surprisingly, she finished last. No, it wasn't surprising. Honey, I see some believers that are hitting a hurdle. And they're giving up. And they have fallen, and they're not getting up. And it's like, oh God, give us some more steel in our backbone. I'm not saying you'll never fall, you'll never trip over a hurdle. If you're a hurdler, you're going to trip over a hurdle once in a while, all right? But listen, you got to get right back up, and you got to get to running again. You can't just bemoan that you've got tripped run. Run that you may obtain. Run that you might win the race. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, the Olympians do it, to obtain a corruptible crown. But we do it for an incorruptible. We run the race for Jesus Christ for a different crown that never fades. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body under my body, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. An evangelist I respected so much when I was a young man, and I was good friends with his son. And he had preached our camp a few times, and his name is Brother Rippey. And he and his son, myself, became good friends. And about 5 years later, I hear that Brother Rippey went into a hotel room, took a gun, and blew his brains out. How do you get there? He became a castaway. He became a castaway. Horrible, horrible thing. It isn't a sprint, my friends. It's a marathon. Living for Jesus is not a sprint. Jesus describes it when he talks about the soil and the seed. And it says some love it right away and they begin to grow. But the cares of this life and riches get in, they're thorns, they produce no fruit. And others are on stones and they literally fade away. When trouble comes, they fade away. It's a marathon, my friends. We go through many ups and downs and challenges. And if we don't look to the Lord in all things, one of those downtimes will get you. And the devil will convince you it's not worth serving Jesus Christ. I'm here to serve notice to you and me both that it is worth serving Jesus Christ and putting Him first in all things. But if you're going to be a marathon believer, and in a minute I'll tell you what that means, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And stuff is the nice word. We are going to have to live through offenses. People offend us, not because you're sensitive, but because they're offending you. People that we respect fail us, as I just said. I was heartbroken. Of course, I didn't have any contact with his family or not, but my goodness, what a horror. Just a horror story. I was thankful. I thought perhaps the service was done Wednesday night. I said, Matt, just take it over the altar. And we had prayed several times for different things and so forth. And it was at the end that Matt said, I wonder if anybody wants to know this Redeemer. And that lady came forward. You never know. Preachers, listen to me. You never soften your message because who's in the congregation? This idea that we go vanilla because visitors might come on Sunday morning. I know for a fact, any visitor that comes here, probably, as Deb says, pretty desperate. If they're willing to come to this place, they're like, there's no place else. Maybe I'll try this place. A few weeks ago, a young man walked into this church on a Sunday morning with his girlfriend. And she'd only come a couple of times. We preached the gospel. I didn't see any response from him or anything. And it's sad to tell you today that that young man, I don't know how old he was, in his 20s? Okay. But he was a young man. Yeah. And we just found out today that this last week he killed himself. You don't know who's in the room and needs Jesus. Never, ever be afraid to speak up for Jesus. I thank the Lord that he heard the gospel. I don't know what caused him to do what he did. But it's a terrible thing, man. It's a terrible, terrible thing. I say that as an aside. People that we respect fail us. They fail the Lord and they fail us. We'll have to go through things at church. Things don't go our way. We voted for red pews and they got blue. I wanted to be the Sunday school superintendent and somebody else is, and all of those kind of things. We're going to have to forgive people. It's a marathon. If you expect to go through this life without someone doing something to you that you're going to have to forgive them for, then you're living in your closet. We're just going to have to forgive people. Plain and simple. They were wrong as rain, but you're just going to have to forgive them. We're going to have to live through situations in our lives that seem dark and difficult, and yet still trust the Lord. When the doctor comes in and tells you that you have cancer, and furthermore, that cancer is spread through your body, and furthermore, that cancer is terminal, those are dark times, but we're still going to have to trust the Lord. We'll have to climb mountains just to reach the summit and slip off the other side and end up back in the valley. That's just the way it is. Life is cruel. Have you ever really studied our financial system? And it's not just here, it's around the world. It is designed for middle-class people to fail. It is designed for the rich people to get richer. It is designed to keep the poor people poor and put the burden on the middle folks. It's a design. It's not coincidence. It doesn't happen out of thin air. There's a design behind it, folks. And we're going to, and if you spend your whole life trying to climb that ladder to get out of where, you can go ahead, but I'm just happy I got food to eat. I had corn on the cob 5 times. My digestive system wasn't ready for it, but didn't stop me. I mean, it went from the stalk to the water to my mouth. All right. And it popped. Sweet corn, if you get it just right, pops off the cob. It does, you know, it just pop. Anyway. I have no idea why I said that. We're going to face in this Christian life rejections from supposedly friends and even family. Guess what? Every promise in the book is mine. Did you know that Jesus promised you rejection? It said the contention will be within your own household. You will face rejection from supposed friends and even family if you're going to follow Jesus. But we've got to continue on with Jesus and His ways. We must continue to reject the world's ways. We must carry on as far as we know about the Word of God. Hear me carefully. That's why you don't shove the older saints in the corner. Give them earplugs and tell them where to send the check. You do not set elder saints aside. They are the ones who have proved that it's worth serving Jesus. That's why you don't let young ministers set the course of your fellowship. That's why I had President Biden stayed in the race, we would have had an upper 70s candidate and an in his 80s candidate. I guess we don't have a big problem with that in the secular world, but in the church, suddenly the old folks are dust mites. Please, if you're elderly, stay with Jesus and give these young people a model to follow after. We have thrown out elder ministers and we replace them with young people that have a system, a formula, if you will, an algorithm on how to grow a church. And it does not set well with God. Baal worshippers under Ahab and Jezebel had algorithms how to grow it. God doesn't work with algorithms. He works with the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us is a one-lane race. There's only one lane. There's not six lanes or seven lanes. There's only one lane. It's called the straight and narrow. That's our lane to run. And let us run with patience. Why did he put patience in there? Because he knew there would be trials and temptations along that pathway. And he said, keep going anyway. This race that is set before, keep going. How do you keep going? Looking unto Jesus, the author or the beginner and the finisher of our faith. Not to the church, not to the pastor, not to the denomination. Look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There's a wonderful word in our Bible that we don't preach enough on, and it's called endure. We have been so busy pouring the sugar on the gospel, but a lot of the gospel is you and me enduring. Though the times are hard and things are against us and the prognosis is bad, we endure anyways, because Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have sometimes, you just got to set your face like flint and endure. Keep going. And when it all is going against you, you keep going with Jesus. I don't care. You know, throw me in prison. Well, I'll be with Jesus in prison. But you go with Jesus. Chapter 12 of Hebrews continues on. I'm not going to read it. But another thing that we must endure if we're going to make it to the end is the chastening of the Lord. Oh, that's in your Bible. The chastening and the correction of the Lord, we are to endure as good soldiers. It's not easy to take it, but we must. What is the chastening of the Lord? The chastening of the Lord is, he speaks to you, Scott, no, that's not right. Scott, go ask for forgiveness for this. Scott, forgive this person. You haven't forgiven them, and then you argue with them. Oh, yes, I have, Lord. Oh, yes, I have. No, you're not. You still have bitter feelings in your heart. You have hard feelings toward this person. You're going to have to endure the chastening and correction of the Lord. I can't tell you how many people have walked away from the Lord. It might not look it on the outside, but on the inside, they have walked away from the Lord because they cannot endure the chastening or the correction of the Lord. And so they quit listening to the Holy Spirit altogether because they don't want to listen to what he's got to tell them. Have you ever challenged the Holy Spirit? Have you ever challenged him and said this, Lord, take a look at me and see what's not right? And then he starts. And then he continues. And then he continues. It's like, wait a minute, all right, like, can we handle these one at a time? I thought I was okay. What, are we going to be some kind of rebel and not submit to his chastening, whatever the Lord is teaching us, and say, well, no, I'm not going to learn that lesson. I'll learn this lesson, but I'm not going to learn that lesson. Or are we going to be good students of Jesus Christ? Are we going to be followers of Jesus, or are we going to be rebels? You want to be Judas Iscariot, or do you want to be like the rest of the disciples? And here's another little situation when people get old. The saying is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, or we get set in our ways. Hard to imagine that any of us would get set in our ways after years. But Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost would tell you. We never get too old for the correction of the Lord. We never get too old. We have never reached the plain or the plateau where these guys, I haven't sinned in 20 years. You know, it's like, okay, whatever, buddy. You're a better man than me. I still need correction. You probably still need correction. Why don't we heed it instead of block it? I'm almost done, actually. Jesus gives us a very stern warning. This is how serious it is. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how many people you have preached to in your lifetime. If you fail at the end, you failed. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you've given to the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if you were a missionary on the missionary field. If you fail at the end, you have failed. Nobody gets a medal who doesn't finish. You got to finish. I got to finish. Take heed. Mark 13:9. But take heed to yourselves. This is Jesus speaking. For they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten. Oh, happy day. And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Interesting. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father the son, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Phew. He's not on a recruiting trip, is he? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Full colon. But he that shall endure unto the end, comma, the same shall be saved. No matter what the world sends our way, if we'll endure it to the end, you shall be saved. You've got to make it to the end. And the end will come for all of us sooner or later. But there must be a determination. Are you here tonight? About done. Not going to keep you too long. You have outdoor furniture to pick up. The end will come for all of us sooner or later. And I tried to think and search my memory bank. And when you get older, it's the RAM memory that fails. The RAM memory is your active memory. Your ROM memory doesn't fail so much. That's your hard drive memory. All right? It's here, up here that we... So I'm trying to think, and I don't believe I've ever watched an unbeliever die. Okay, I've not. It wouldn't be a privilege, but I have heard from others that it's not a good sight. But I have seen real believers reach the end of their long road here on earth. And I'm here to tell you something tonight. The rewards in this life are nothing like the rewards for those that have passed on. Those are the real rewards that last for eternity. If you die with Jesus and you are alone in a cottage with no food in the cupboard, no one holding your hand, no relative around you. You're there. You are now skin and bones. You're emaciated. And you die. It's the most wonderful thing on the planet. If you have all friends and all your church around you, yet you're not with Jesus, it doesn't matter who's holding your hand. It is worth serving Jesus to the end.
Remember that one Sunday night? I think it was a Sunday night. We took turns. And I asked you the question about people dying and what they saw. And there was some miraculous testimonies of people seeing the Lord coming to get them. And just the peace that's in the room. And my sister, the nurse, tells me that my grandfather left this world speaking in tongues. I was near when both... I wasn't near when my dad passed. I have eyewitnesses. My dad's mind was on the Lord always, and certainly when he passed, he didn't give a hoot. He was ready to leave. And my mother preached her greatest sermons in her chair the day before she died and her death day. She preached to every one of her grandchildren and asked them to promise that they would meet her on the other side. She knew where she was going because she had kept the faith to the end. I have sat in a hospital room and sang the songs of the saints as that believer slips out of this place that we live in and gone into eternity. I have been there and smelt the sweet perfume of the presence of God. So many of those have gone on before and made it over, and what a delight it is. Friends, those that endure to the end shall be saved. I have determined to hold out till the end. I'm not going to give my faith up to nobody and no thing. Hallelujah. I've heard of others who didn't keep the faith and they died. They died without Jesus. You say, well, I believe once saved, always saved. Whatever. I have just heard eyewitnesses reports that they have seen people die that knew Jesus, but they weren't serving Jesus at the end, and they were so stubborn they wouldn't give in to Him. It wasn't pretty. There is a reward for those that refuse to continue to serve Jesus, and that reward is hell, because they don't have the wedding garment on. My desire, I confess to you tonight, to serve the Lord Jesus all the way to the end and beyond. My faith is not for sale. There's not enough dollars or pesos or euros or whatever currency. There's not enough tons of gold to turn me away from serving Jesus. I've got more than all of that put together. Right now, I have more than that. Hallelujah. My relationship with Jesus is more valuable than rubies and diamonds and all of those things. There is more value in my relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what my future holds. I know I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm not turning Him in for anybody else or anything else. There's nothing, I'm like Simon Peter. Where can I go? Where else can I go to get the words of eternal life? However, in my closing remarks here, you and I must determine to do that before the fact, before the temptation to quit and give up. We've got to determine it way before. We have to have a predetermination that when the devil comes strong, the devil doesn't let you alone until after you're gone, all right? He's constantly bugging you. He's constantly tempting you. He's constantly trying to get you to quit. All of those things, constantly, until your last breath on here. But so we have to have a determination. I'm going all the way with Jesus until death, and then I'll go with Him into eternity. If my wife leaves me because I serve Jesus, I will serve Jesus. If my sons refuse to speak to me because I am serving Jesus, then my sons will refuse to speak to me. If I don't make it in certain social circles because of my faith in Jesus Christ, then I won't be in those circles. It's kind of simple, but I've got to determine that before the influence comes and strives to tell me. You understand that any preacher has been told this. What you're doing is useless. You understand that?
I've talked to preachers, and I've had to talk them off. They said, my ministry was nothing. I never pastored a large church. You know, I don't know how many people got saved on my ministry. Not many. And it's like, I don't even know why I was preacher all those years. I should have been making money. And it was like, I always ask them, did you show up 3 weeks out of the 4 of the month, or did you show up for all 4? Well, showed up for all 4. Well, did you pray? Did you serve communion? Did you minister to people when they ask you to? Well, yeah. Well, then, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. The devil is a bloody, rotten liar. And he comes to you people and say, you know, you've influenced no one for Christ. You're barely saved yourself. You haven't done... Somebody's lying. Because Jesus thought your soul was tremendously valuable. That he hung on an old rugged cross so that you could follow him all the way. All the way. Judas we know about. But the rest of those apostles followed Jesus all the way. All the way. They followed him to the crucifixion cross. They followed him to waters that they would drown in. They followed him into saws that would saw them in half. They followed him into the hot brass tubs that they would heat up and were thrown in. Anything you can imagine, they followed him. What Paul followed him while he was being beheaded in Rome. They just followed him to the death. Nothing changed their mind. Nothing changed their soul. Because they knew that the race that they were running was worth running until the end. And I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Sometimes we're accused of living in a fantasy land, telling people about heaven and what awaits them in heaven. But it's real. I got to tell you about heaven so you don't give up before. Tim, if you'd come. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to sing an old chorus. Forgive me. We're singing an old chorus. I don't know. David Reaver said tonight while he was at Family Worship Center, he says, I like the old-fashioned way of praising the Lord. I like to hear that. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.